How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get juicy large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's November 20th, 2024, just a few days before AEW Full Gear. I will be here for a live post-show podcast with a bunch of backstage news, scoops, details, all that stuff. And man, we'll have plenty of insight on that. We had a major interview with Kenny Omega that I teased last week that ended up dropping. It was a good one. 45 minutes. I believe it's his first interview in months. We've got QT Marshall tomorrow. I'm very excited for that. They said, anybody you want. I said, QT Marshall. I am excited to bring the boom, as the kids are saying.
The kids are saying that, apparently.
Yes. This fella brings the boom multiple times a week to FightfulSelect.com, where I've got an underdog lock pick for this weekend's Full Gear over in our betting tips over there. Alex will be live with a post show this Saturday as well. Yes. Not just my point of view. You get Alex's over there behind the paywall as well. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing well. This is a really fun card shaping up for Saturday. I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of the matches on there. Yes, we will be doing one off of Select after the show. We'll start a little late. And perhaps Kate will be able to join us after the scrum is over. Cardo's unfortunately not available, so I'll be going through the early part of the card by myself, but it should be a lot of fun over there. We always pop ourselves.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Make sure you guys check that out. If you are new to this channel, welcome. Please subscribe. It helps us so much. Please share the video as well. Algorithms are not favorable to original content, as it turns out. I saw, Alex, yesterday a fake news report from Fightful get 5,000 shares on Instagram, and then somebody stole that content, uploaded it to TikTok, and also got 5,000 shares. I'll let you guess how many me correcting it got.
I mean, like, I don't know, 5% of that.
Not very good. 5% would have been wonderful. Yeah. I would have been very, very happy with the Pawn Stars negotiated 5% on that. We'll leave a thumbs up, drop a fruit emoji, get your super chats and humper chats in. I answered a whole bunch of questions on today's episode of The Hump. But if you go to FightfulSelect.com, I am answering your questions nonstop. But I'm going to do a Q&A over on Blue Sky very soon. I'm there. Alex is there. Fightful's there. I'll continue to use every platform, threads, all that stuff, Twitter and all that. But I am over on Blue Sky as well. But we got AEW Full Gear this weekend. We're going to have a lot of coverage heading into that, the Tony Khan call as well. Alex, anything jump off the page to you on this show?
I really enjoyed the furthering of the main storyline, and there's I also like that they're not hitting us over the head with it, but I think there is a very specific kind of match that they're going to get Class Cassidy and Moxley to wrestle, which I'll talk about when we talk about that segment at the end of the show.
Well, we kicked off the show with the Don Callis family defeating Ricochet, Mark Davis, Will Ospreay, and Hobbs. Sometimes you just need a slapper, man. Yeah. Sometimes you just need a banger. And that's what this was. Mark Davis taking the pin. He is sort of, you know, in no man's land right now with Kyle Fletcher very like clearly ascending the ranks from a singles perspective. I don't know what is to be of Mark Davis. It didn't surprise me to see him take the loss here, considering Ricochet is still getting his push. Will Hobbs just came back. Will Ospreay, top guy. Don Callis family got the win, obviously, Takeshita picking up that victory. It didn't surprise me to see this, and I think it actually plays into, well, if you got a year off, it's going to be tough to come back. And I would love to see that played into the story. I just watched a whole bunch of people get worked into thinking you could take 20 years off of boxing and win a fight, or 4 years off of heavyweight MMA and beat the GOAT. It's not easy to take a year off of something, come back and win. And I think that that's, that can be the story of this, so to speak. But how'd you feel about this opener?
I really liked it. The wrinkle of having Hobbs taken out with a knee thing, playing on his knee surgery, coming back from that, having him to go out there and then hobble his way down to ringside. Will hobble his way down to ringside. And he gets the hot tag and, you know, does a really good job of selling the knee while doing a very effective hot tag as well. The wrinkle of, because there's a, I think, a prevailing opinion among a lot of smarky types, myself included, that we're probably going to see Davis end up with Kyle Fletcher at the end of all this and choose Fletcher over Ospreay at the end of this. And perhaps the beginning of that is Ospreay accidentally hitting Davis with the hidden blade instead of Fletcher. Maybe that's the beginning of that. That usually they a lot of times when they do one of those things, they like to at least stir up a little controversy on whether or not that was intentional. And hey, that was my nose you almost broke. But that being the lead up to Takeshita hitting them with the knee, Davis getting the pin, makes a little bit of sense. There's a lot of really good matches on the card this weekend. But I mean, if you told me the top two were going to shake out to be Takeshita versus Ricochet and Ospreay versus Fletcher, I would say that's fairly likely. Yes.
Like this again, you got a banger. It gets Takeshita a victory. Mark Davis isn't hurt by losing to Takeshita. It does advance multiple storylines ahead of you know their matches on Saturday. As things stand, where do you stand on Ospreay versus Fletcher? Our great partners at Bet Online have Will Ospreay favored to win, but I also listen. I know Will Ospreay a little bit, and he. Like, if Brian Danielson passed one lesson down to the younger generation, it's Will Ospreay, who went to Tony Khan and said, "Yeah, I'd really like to lose to Swerve Strickland." Yeah. I could see him. Kyle Fletcher winning this.
Will Ospreay going to bat for Swerve Strickland to beat him, I would think, would then guarantee him going to bat for Kyle Fletcher, his best friend, to beat him as well. I don't know if that's the plan, but I feel like Ospreay would feel like, yeah, sure. I mean, it's the beginning of the feud. The heel getting the first victory, like, lights a fire under the baby face to try and come back and get another match. That's usually the way these things work. I would be honestly pretty surprised if Ospreay beat Fletcher. I would think that Fletcher probably, to me, not a lock, but to me, in my mind, would be a fairly big favorite to get the victory in this, their first match against each other as part of this feud.
My God, I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, I could see Fletcher winning this. I really could. But also, I feel like they might pull the double swerve.
Yeah, they could.
And he ends up winning. I don't think Takeshita is booked for Full Gear as of yet.
I mean, but, that would be weird if they didn't. I feel like, you know, I feel like it's odd since Ricochet's been hovering around the international title and even attacked him and pinned him in one tag match and held the title over his head in another spot. So it would be odd if they didn't end up doing that.
Oh man, I'm looking forward to that one. Definitely looking forward to that one. We've got MVP saying that he's got an announcement that Bobby Lashley, or he's got an announcement, and it's Bobby Lashley will make his in-ring debut tonight. And Swerve pops out of nowhere with a chain and cracks him.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see Swerve getting one up on Lashley. I feel like the two segments that led into this, like, just needed more, needed more to it. And if I know all the guys involved the way that, I think I do, I don't think that it's probably the way that it was supposed to originally be. But MVP and Shelton searching for Swerve backstage and just finding a guy that Swerve gave his jacket to.
Yeah.
I really love it. And they beat him up.
Yeah. Also, I was looking at that guy and I was like, Swerve is 6 foot one, 1.5. That dude was definitely not. And he did have a similar hair and skin tone, but I didn't enjoy them walking up. If they had walked up behind Reggie, like, they would have been like, yeah, you're wearing his jacket, but no, you're definitely not the same size as him. It was a very fun segment, though.
I enjoyed that. And then Lashley gets the win over Joe Keys and Cheeseburger.
Yes.
I love Cheeseburger. Great. So I'll just take some time and say probably any company should just hire Cheeseburger for a number of things. In addition to having him wrestle on ROH and all that, the man has a great eye for talent. He's a fantastic trainer. I think he'd be an amazing, like, agent as well. I think he would do really, really well. Listen, he got turned into Smashburger tonight, though.
I loved the layout of this handicap match. It was
anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's one of those ones where you got to tag in to be legal, but Cheeseburger taking the Dominator and Lashley being like, well, that's it. I, you know, set the other guy to the outside. He's not dumb enough to get in and break up this pin. So this was a light work for me. And then Joe Keys is dumb enough to get in and break up the pin, but Cheeseburger is unconscious for the rest of the match. Never rolls out of the ring. He's just dead, lying there. And that was fantastic because Joe Keys is trying to have the rest of the match with Bobby Lashley. He's a big dude. He's throwing in some forearms, trying to do some damage, but that's not going to really hurt Lashley all that much. So he ends up doing a big spine buster, a spear, and then the full Nelson, the hurt lock or whatever they're going to call it now, while Cheeseburger is still dead in the middle of the ring. That was a fun layout of a handicap match.
Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Tom LaValle says, I say Cheeseburger became a sloppy Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I have always been a proponent of sometimes you need to see people do their cool shit. Yeah. And that's like, sometimes I need a Brian Cage squash match where I can see that he can do all this crazy stuff. Like, I think that that's very useful. Mm-hmm. We got a Humper chat from Johnny Big Man who says AEW was good tonight. Pretty excited for Full Gear, but the real news. Hey, Sean, who's got it better than us? Hashtag Chargers. Well, listen, I don't know what to tell you there. Bengals are terrible. What can I say? The Bengals scored more points than any team in the NFL did against the Chargers and couldn't win. That is their defense. That is their defense. Bobby or Eric sends a Humper chat and says, if you're running AEW, wouldn't you build this Swerve storyline out with Lashley? Take some time with it. Add some more depth layers to it. Try to draw more people into watching. Why rush what could be a great storyline in the company? Am I wrong here?
Yes.
It's the beginning
of the storyline. I don't think this is it for by no means. I feel like I'll be happy to be proven wrong and come on here and say so. I got proven wrong, but I feel like this is Lashley and Swerve one of three at the very least. Like this feels like, so they're going to build out the Hurt Syndicate with more people. They've already given their cards out to a bunch of people. I don't know if they all join, but at least one of them will. And then maybe another person joins. And the whole time, if Swerve wants to keep pace, he's got to bring in his own guys. So this is just the very beginning of this. If you told me this whole thing lasted until Double or Nothing, I would not be surprised. So this is just the beginning. This is where Swerve thinks he's got one over on Lashley because he used the chain tonight. And Lashley has the first match with him and shows him what's up.
I see this going on for a bit longer. Now, you all should keep in mind, one, this has already been going on a month. So by the time this match happens, it's over a month. It was supposed to start 3 weeks prior to that.
Right, that's true.
But it got changed because of the attempted murder on AEW pay-per-view. I think it's going to get intertwined with some other stories. It wouldn't surprise me in the future to see Death Riders going after Swerve, and then Swerve calls on the guys that he's been feuding with for months and months and months because he's like, you know what? I know these guys can match up. Yeah. I could see that happening as well. Listen, the ingredients involved in this, first off, I don't think that Lashley, Shelton, and MVP would have come in unless there was a satisfying story. Because from what I understand, they were just fine. Like, Shelton Benjamin was going to be just fine working indie dates.
Yeah.
At the rate he was charging. But we'll see. Also, I want to say to Ned in our chat, I'm very sorry for your loss. Yeah. I see what you shared with this. And I want to thank you for sharing that. And I just want to send you all the best and send love to your family. Amir says, what are the chances Kenny Omega or Adam Copeland come back at the pay-per-view? So, Alex, I have mentioned this in the past. I've interviewed Kenny 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. I love that he works a little bit during the interviews. I love that he's okay with me calling him out for working and then pushing back on the works as well. Yeah. I think he was working when he said, they don't need me. I think that was his way of throwing everybody off, because what do you see on social media? A bunch of people saying, the hell they don't.
Right.
And then what's going to happen if and when he shows up this Sunday or Saturday or next week? It's not going to be good enough for whoever. But what it will be is a surprise appearance. Mm-hmm. After everybody said, why New Japan? Why not AEW? I don't know. Maybe it's because AEW wanted to throw a bone to the company they have taken Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Taken Switchblade from, taken Okada from. Yeah. And then it's still going to get a big reaction when Kenny shows up.
And Kenny has all that history there. Like, it's not like he's showing up for the first time back from diverticulitis at a company he never worked at. Like, he's got all that history with New Japan. They're running a sister show. They're running, like,
they're not a sister show. Like, they're running a show together.
Like, they're running a show together is what I mean. They're running a show at the same time together again, not only Forbidden Door, but now this thing in January, Wrestle Dynasty,
which I hope means they change the name of Dynasty. Get rid of Dynasty. Can't have two of those.
No, you can't have Dynasty and also Wrestle Dynasty. That's not good. I hot take. I don't think AEW does need him right now, at least in the spot that he would occupy. I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, the whole Moxley thing is just heating up. He's starting this thing with Cassidy. We'll see where that goes after that. There's definitely going to get a Darby Allin title match with Moxley. He probably is the one who ends up taking it off of him. There's a bunch of stuff. The C2 is just starting. Like, Kenny Omega being around would be fine. But, like, if you're saying, like, he should come back and be at the top of the card, I feel like they are building a new thing, which to me feels like we're going to try and build this new generation so that in a year, 2 years, these people who you see as, what are these guys doing near the top of the card? You'll say, well, these guys belong there. Hopefully that's where they're trying to go.
And I mean, Kenny has been in Japan for one weekend of wrestling since he left AEW. Yeah. So that's a big deal for them. It's a big deal for Kenny. It is important. It's you know, one of those things that I think goes a long way in the relationship, and it's not going to hurt his return, which I feel like is going to be very soon.
Yeah.
Listen, I feel like I've got a pretty good Kenny lie detector on me at this point.
Right.
Zach Schimmel says, great interview, by the way. Stopped what I was doing to watch that interview. Omega is great. Oh, please share it. Please, all that stuff. Listen, like I said, the algorithm does not favor us a lot because we go live a lot, all that. So please share it. And also, I found out if you multi-stream like we do to Twitter, it also doesn't take kindly to that. I don't know why any platform might be like, you're live on that Twitter. We don't know about that. Don't know why anybody would think that these days.
Yeah.
No. but a couple interesting notes that Fightful broke over the last week on Fightful Select, Alex. Ourselves and Andrew Zarian broke the news of Hammerstein. That is going to be a 3-night thing. Mm-hmm. But then, funny enough, I think on Thursday or Friday, I was going to break the Staples Center news for Revolution. But AEW, very shortly after WWE announced the Intuit Dome, announced that Staples Center, Revolution, but they also announced all their live events, at least as of now, through early March, which, good, they should be doing that. They absolutely should be doing that. But they are also running some more intimate venues because they also announced that they're going to be running GalaxyCon in Columbus. Alex, I have covered multiple events from that convention center, NXT, in 2015 and 2016. Yep. It's great. GalaxyCon is huge. They'll be at Hammerstein, different environment as well. There are places like Louisville and Phoenix where they were running NBA-sized arenas.
Yeah.
The Yum Center is where the Louisville Cardinals lose all their college basketball games. Then in Phoenix, they were running the Suns Arena. They are going to much more intimate venues there.
Yeah.
There are some that they haven't changed necessarily, but they're also running Knoxville for the first time. They're running Oceanside, California, where they've got a new venue that is more scaled to what AEW has been drawing. They've got Clarksville, Tennessee, which NXT ran earlier this year. So they're going to some new places. They're going to some different venues in these places. And I think this is good. For some people, I had mentioned, you should run smaller venues, more intimate venues, because that matters. And of course, you're still going to have the trolls that are like, well, they had to. Oh, you should book better. Listen, you got to book to what you got.
Right.
And that's what they're doing right now. I don't look at a lot on this show thinking it's bad. I know I've went on a long rant here, but what did you think when you heard about this live event strategy and the direction that they're going with this? Because I saw that Australia thing and I was like, why the hell are they running that?
Mm-hmm. I definitely think that the move to smaller venues, at least for a certain extended period of time, is a great one. It's gonna feel like so much better. You're gonna be able to light the whole place. As opposed to this very cavernous, dark place, and then you won't have the like crowd shot that is it's actually a crowd shot of a really cool really cool move somebody did. But because they're on the other side and all you see is the hard cam side on the video, the entire comments is just people going, empty, 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 all this crap. So I think the actual venue will feel so much more alive from the people there. The sound will carry in a way that's great. Also, you'll be able to put a fork in a lot of the people taking note of only, oh, they didn't sell it out. So obviously they're dead. They're a dead company. You can at least put a lid on some of that. Though there will always be the bad faith people anyway. But I think it's going to look really cool. I think it's going to differentiate them. They're going to be able to run a lot of really cool looking venues. NXT ran someplace in St. Louis or outside of St. Louis for the second show of the CW. And the whole look of the venue, it was like, it reminded me of Hammerstein, where it was like the second row was like above on a balcony, like directly over the ring. It was really cool. You'll be able to like do a lot of fun stuff. And hopefully they find some venues that really sing and they come back to them over and over again. Make sure they get at least one Dynamite every 6 months or so. Like make it a thing where you can build a local audience that loves coming to see AEW shows. It'll work.
5 years ago, they had the benefit of WWE being terrible. Some of the worst creative that ever existed.
Yes, yes.
And they had a whole lot of people that wanted to come.
Yeah.
People are not dissatisfied with WWE anymore. In fact, fans are eating up almost anything WWE gives them right now.
Right.
They are the hot product right now. AEW is not the hot ticket anymore. Now, I think there are still some more things they should do. They should lower ticket prices, especially.
Yes.
When I've got my personal friends that are sending me those hinting, these tickets sure are expensive. Got people that used to work for Fightful asking me if I can get them comps. Yeah. Buddy, the talent can't get comps to WWE right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that AEW should go in that direction. There, it was funny. I saw somebody say, oh, Tony must have been listening. And I was like, what? You think I'm not the only person that said this. There were hundreds. Thousands of people that said go to more intimate venues. There were dozens of people inside the company. Right. I just constantly said, let's do this. Let's see how it is there. Mm-hmm. Let's see how it is with a smaller environment. There are visual changes I think they could do. You need some more contrast. I know that they changed the ring barricades because they had their reasons for that, which I'll run something on Select about that this week. But WWE does this, for example. You don't have dark, cavernous areas in the background because they have a lighting set up in the background where there's a little bit of light here, 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 and here, like the little dots and stuff. So you don't see this just cavernous look. And let's be real, everybody on AEW wears black anyway.
That's true.
So like you need some contrast on your shows as well. You need to do something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good step.
Yeah.
Another story, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, broke. Speedball Mike Bailey, effectively done with TNA. He's headed to AEW. A lot of people said, including myself, man, Continental Classic would be great. Now, we had reported earlier this year that his deal goes to the end of the year. However, it was reported elsewhere and kind of insisted to us by them that it was up November 1st. I'm told that he did finish up with TNA in October. But his deal actually runs through the end of the year. So AEW cannot use him for the Continental Classic. He is able to talk to people and work out new deals and or work out deals and stuff. So he is going to AEW. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it won't be for the Continental Classic, which would have been the perfect thing. And if I were AEW, Alex, I would have hit up TNA and said, how about we slip you an extra $50K and you just let us use this guy and you can AEW could go and sign an indie talent with that for their per appearance deals.
Yeah. We'll buy you out times five, whatever that we'll slip a little extra in the envelope, but we'll absolutely buy out the contract for sure. At least present that as an option. I mean, maybe they'll say no, just on general principle or whatever, but that would be the absolute perfect place to debut a guy like Speedball Mike Bailey, because the AEW crowd, A, probably already knows him, and B, would go absolutely ape for all of his stuff that he would do in the C2.
Well, on principle, you don't want to chop your nuts up, so use Manscaped.
Nobody wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone. There's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's just so much. Where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. That's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs. And then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at manscaped.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL? If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the go bag as well. They got the groin and go bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL.
Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceovers says who should be in the C2 and that women's tourney. Well, on the ROH side, for sure, Athena. Athena needs to get there and make it all the way to the end. I think on the AEW side, Britt, Deonna, Rosa, and then either one of the champions. I think you put in one of the champions to make it as big of a deal as possible. Who are you thinking in the women's tournament that they announced, which, by the way, culminates on January 5th at that show? Brilliant idea. It's like a women's World Cup. CMLL, AEW, ROH, Stardom. Four people from each bracket in a mini tournament.
Right.
And then the winners of each leg of that from each company meet, which is so cool. Such a cool idea.
How injured is Willow?
Well,
because I would want her in it if she's healthy, but I know she's been injured.
It was bad enough to where it adjusted her immediate creative then, but I've not heard anything since, so I don't know if it's...
I would want her in it, and especially if it could be like, hey, you're cleared? Cool. We're going to keep you under wraps and have you as a surprise entrant in this thing, because I think that would be really cool for everybody. Her coming back to be part of that would be awesome. I love your Deonna. Jamie Hayter would be really cool to see her in that. Shida, the whole thing's being done in Japan. Hikaru Shida being in it would be really cool. There's a lot of really cool stuff they could do there. There's so many really talented women. I love Statlander as well. A surprise win and some kind of qualifier to get in. Queen Aminata, who then has an amazing tournament, would be really cool because I love her too. There's a lot of great women.
As far as the C2, I would like to see. Well, I think Daniel Garcia is probably about to win the TNT title as Bet Online has him favored, because I would like to see like the redemption arc with him.
Right.
Mark Briscoe in that tournament more would be good, because he didn't do well last year, and I'd love to see him do a lot better. I would love to see them loaded up with some top talent. I want to know what it's for, the long and short of it, because last year's ended up being like for a triple crown that was politically limited.
Right. It's for Okada is in it. He's defending the belt in it. Whoever wins the tournament is the new Continental Champion. Or if he wins the whole thing, he retains. That's it. So to me, if Daniel Garcia doesn't win the TNT title, I have him in the Continental Classic and win the whole thing. Gets to the finals against Okada and beat Okada. That redemption arc for him would be amazing. But he's the only one, and only if he wins, that I want to see in the field from last year. Because you have such an amazing, expansive roster. There's a bunch of people in the company who weren't even in the company the last time they did one of these, or were injured at the time. I also would love to see a thing where, like, every major faction gets one representative and only one representative.
That'd be cool.
You know what I mean? Like, if Pac was in it instead of Claudio, because Claudio was in it last year. If Shelton was in it.
I really want to see Shelton.
I want to see Ricochet in it. Like, there's some cool stuff. Hey, I also feel like it'd be kind of cool if you are currently a singles champion and you're not the continental champion, you're not allowed in it. We want to build a new guy. So whoever doesn't have the belt would be kind of cool to be in there. Well, there's such a long list of people I would love to see in it. Number one, though, for me is Shelton Benjamin.
I just don't think that title should exist.
I understand.
Now, if they add Shockwave or something, and they're I would love to see it combined with like the international title and that becoming like a top title on a show or something like that.
Leo Rush.
Yes.
He's been doing some really great stuff on Rampage. If you don't watch Rampage, I don't blame you. It seems very skippable. He is excellent in every match. He's so great on Rampage, man. They really let that guy cook. He's so damn good, and you forget about it because you'll forget about how long he's been doing it. He would be excellent in a place like the C2.
Thomas says, speaking of the C2, we need a Steve Kornacki. I think that's how you pronounce it. Like personality, breaking down win probabilities as we go. RJ might be fun in that role. No, you know who would be good in that role? Mm-hmm. Mark Briscoe would be perfect in that role as a genius.
That's true. Yeah.
That's what I want to see. That's how I can further this. Mm-hmm. Mark Briscoe is a genius.
Yeah, there you go.
Agenda here. So we got Adam Cole coming out. He is looking like he's going to take over as the voice of Milhouse on The Simpsons from that lady that is retiring soon. It looks like you can play him in the live action version too. That man is orange as hell, Alex.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that.
When he first came out, I was like, maybe it's the lights.
No, it wasn't. No, it's not the lights.
He wants to get his hands on MJF, but MJF made sure that he couldn't. Roderick Strong succeeded. We'll get to face him at Full Gear. Kyle O'Reilly interrupted and said 14 years ago they had one of their first matches in that same town. They've been through a lot, but that makes Kyle the only person who can tell him this, that the obsession needs to end because Cole is dragging his friends into his fight with MJF, and MJF is probably already three steps ahead of them. I really like Kyle being the voice of reason and the voice of the audience saying, let's move on.
Right.
Let's not do this feud, which is surely continuing for another full month.
Yeah.
Full year to World's End.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely getting the match versus Max. I would like it to end there, whatever the thing is. But I really like the thing he says, like, no matter what you do, you're never going to be as evil as MJF. And that's a good thing. And then he leaves. Like, this is his friend. This is your best friend, your longest friend, telling you the truth you need to hear, Adam Cole. You're not don't think you can match evil with this guy, because you can't. Because that's all this dude is. And you are a good dude. That's why everybody would take a bullet for you around here.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But I don't think we all would, and we wouldn't think twice about it, but don't make us, because we're going to have to in order to get you out of whatever the hell MJF is going to try and dream up. So I honestly think there's a lot of really cool little character nuance story arc here. Good stuff.
We see a cinematic MJF promo where he's throwing change at a less fortunate fellow to get him out of his shot.
Yeah.
Then he cuts a promo bringing up Roderick Strong's troubled childhood, which it probably is tied to the fact that I've heard rumors that Roderick Strong was a Bengals fan in previous years. So as I can tell you, like, that's something you just don't bring up. No. But MJF brings up Roderick Strong's mother shooting his father in front of him. He says that's why he's so loyal to Adam Cole, because he sees all the positivity Adam Cole has that Roderick lacked. Max understands because he also wanted to trust Cole. On Saturday, he has plans to break Roddy, make him wish his mother shot him instead of his father. So, I have mentioned in the past, when MJF just doesn't like you or is annoyed by you, it's LOL, suck my nuts, your mom. If it is, I really don't like you, or somebody you're associated with, it is, yeah, well, your mom shot your dad and should have been you instead. Like, he really digs deep. Yeah. Like, he goes for the most, like, last rap of 8 Mile type of thing 100%. That maybe people know about you. Maybe they don't.
Right.
But he's going to try. He's not going to give you an opportunity to really have much to say back.
Nope.
Roderick Strong said, I'm not ashamed of that at all. And says that MJF throws the temper tantrum and he's going to have to at Full Gear because he's going to beat him. Thought this was the MJF promo, I thought was the best work of this feud since probably the MJF return and then him beating up Adam Cole.
Yeah. This is very, very good. I like the MJF one getting so personal with Roderick. And this was now in hindsight, always meant to be Roderick gets a match with MJF. MJF is two steps ahead. He's got the diamond ring. He's got something. He's hired a new bodyguard, whatever, and destroys Roddy. Runs a really good match until he decides, okay, now's the time I'm going to spring my trap on Roderick Strong. And then not only is Adam Cole want a piece of MJF because of his own personal reasons, he's doing it to avenge Roderick Strong. And this new thing with Kyle O'Reilly of being like, we just got to let it go. But now Kyle O'Reilly is friends with Roderick too. So like maybe Kyle gets involved as well. There's a lot of really cool stuff with parts of the, you know, the Undisputed Era being there, like reuniting against MJF. And I think inevitably whatever giant dude he's hired to do his dirty work, because it feels like that's kind of his MO, and I don't think it needs to change. I feel like it's a thing that he goes back to all over and over again because it works.
Meet Normus says, "Hello, bruvs. Shelton needs to show out in the C2, but he's more than capable and deserves it. It'll add credibility to the Hurt Syndicate." Yeah, I think that Shelton Benjamin showed that, didn't show that he had some limitations put on him. We know he had some limitations put on him, and sure, he was in the Hurt business for a while and all that stuff, but as a guy that was watching his matches on Main Event, I can tell you that even in that amount of time, he was putting on really, really fun matches. Like him against Charlie Dempsey on Main Event was an awful lot of fun, and he was working with a lot of young talent there, like, and he was doing stuff like this. Like, you could see 8 to 10 minute Shelton matches there, but those don't count on Raw.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. So I want to see him get that opportunity as well. We have Chris Statlander defeating Hikaru Shida. Really enjoyed this match.
Yeah.
I specifically liked how they were selling fatigue on some of the power spots. Like, Chris Statlander did this slow power slam that I think that went really well. Hikaru Shida did a Falcon Arrow where she was completely seated before Statlander was even brought down there, and it went really well. The finish with Statlander picking up the win, I thought that went really well. Match itself, really good, Alex.
Yeah, really, 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 very good. I think they're doing a very slow burn something with Hikaru Shida. I think there's a lot of really good stuff they've been doing with this, like her hesitating, costing her big matches, but her remaining steadfastly a good person until something goes wrong. I think a lot of people are itching for and are very impatient for the Shida heel turn so she can become a Yakuza mob boss and have a phalanx of women joining her. I don't know exactly what they're doing with this. I think that there's nothing wrong with Hikaru Shida being one of the top women in AEW, but just not being her time right now. And it looks great for Stat to beat somebody like Hikaru Shida right now, leading up to her match with Mercedes Moné. But the thing to me that I honestly liked the most was the stuff that happened afterwards. Not necessarily the Mercedes Moné promo, although it wasn't bad. I didn't hate it. But I loved her being like, you know what, Camille, with your arm in a sling, go in there and kick both of their asses right now. And Camille being like, but I got my arms in it. Okay. And then she gets in and she kind of looks at both of them and she says, okay, I'm going to throw a punch now. And they just drop her out of the ring. I honestly liked that they were looking at her like, are you really going to do this? You're really going to do, like, you're going to take that disrespect from her? And she does. And so eventually we're going to get to that point. It may be as early as Saturday where Camille has had enough. And maybe that's you know, that should be a lot of fun.
I saw people like, oh my God, what have they done with Camille? I had somebody on our team, our own team, say she got heat. And I was like, what, have you all not been watching the show?
Right.
Like the last month, like Mercedes taking little shots at her, minimizing her. She got the worst of last week and was in a sling.
Yeah.
So like we're talking about her getting thrown out of a ring. She was in a sling, still trying to do her job. Like they very clearly showed you that she was handicapped in that situation. So obviously two people are going to beat her up.
Right.
I was baffled seeing this. Now there is always the possibility of which AEW has done far too often where they just don't.
Right.
And if that happens, what a waste that would be. Right. What a waste that would be.
Or they do it, but they do it 5 months too late. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, we'll see.
Terry Allen Jr. says, Hurt Syndicate, we hurt people. Theme is A grade. I know Terry is a big theme guy. I'm digging that theme. I am digging that theme.
Me too.
Mikey Ruckus is very good. Knox says, they do so little local advertising. I didn't know about this show till it was too late to take off work. I work third. Hope they come back. They got to get better with that. They absolutely got to get better with that.
Yeah.
N. Simmons says, love Mercedes. This character is not good for me. Her character is annoying, but not in a good way. I think serious evil heel would work for me. I mean, they're using this as a catalyst to help get Camille over right now. And I think that is.
Yeah.
Important as well, because Mercedes is Mercedes.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be over anymore. She's already got sort of that thing, but also it is, where's the ceiling with this? The babyface thing wasn't working.
No.
And until she has slapper after slapper after slapper, I don't think that it'll get back there. But yeah, I definitely think that I definitely think that there's an adjustment needed, but I think that's coming in Camille and her having their split.
Right.
Mariah May is going to get her champagne championship celebration at Full Gear. Renee announces that Mariah and Mina will be teaming up on Rampage. So they kept on, not to bring up a Diddy reference, but it was like the Mo Money Mo Problems video where Mariah keeps stepping in front of her just a little bit more wanting, you're not wanting to share that. Right. Tony Storm was in the media today, and it's so fun. I'm always so happy with how Jeremy covers this.
Yes.
He's like, she says that she's stepping away, blah, blah, blah. He didn't use the term retirement. A lot of places said she's retiring effective immediately.
I thought, didn't Newsweek report that she was retired? Like, people, like, damn, real people are like, oh my God, it's terrible.
Now, I also saw somebody go, well, why are people covering this like it's a serious thing? And it's like, well, if you're talking about us, one, we also cover what matches are going to be on Raw next week.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah,
we do cover kayfabe things.
Yes.
But not, she's absolutely not retiring.
No.
I'd be shocked if she didn't show up Saturday, Alex.
She could not be not retiring more if she was wearing a salmon colored jacket. She is not retiring. She is the opposite of retiring. Yes. So, and I honestly really loved how thick she laid it on. Like, she even did like a reverse thing of like, chin down, tits in, don't bother watching for the shoe because that's over. Like she could not have been more obvious with the satirical nature of her retirement thing, because I feel like it seems like you do the Sam Payne celebration for a match you won in August. You take 3 months to do that. Because Tony Storm is coming back to ruin that. I feel like that's, and then you do also do it on a pay-per-view. It feels like that's probably the angle.
Private Party or backstage hanging out with the Costco guys. The most important element of this is that the Rizzler will be ringing the bell. Let me tell you, I don't know anything about these fellas, but I see the difference in reaction that the Costco guys and the Rizzler get. And this was a wise move on AEW's part to bring in the services of said Rizzler.
Yes.
Jack Perry tied up with his scapegoat bus. Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic. Daniel Garcia is mad that Jack Perry sort of forced his hand. He said that he's nothing like him. Jack Perry gets a little bit more madder and he starts to beat the scapegoat bust out a headlight, which I think will actually add to the scapegoat bust, because you know Jack Perry's not going to get it fixed.
No.
He's just going to run around with a headlight out.
Yeah.
He and Daddy Magic run off and leave Jack tied up. I will say this. The segment that aired on Collision was so phenomenal, where they tied Jack Perry to the hood of the vehicle and just drove. How'd you feel about this segment?
This was really fun. I honestly like the Jack Perry has been pushing him to be like, you're not who you think you are. That like you this all this thing, everything you're trying to do, I did it before. That's not who I really was. This isn't who you really are either. You're going to have to turn to this dark side eventually. And like Jack Perry won. I mean, maybe he didn't in the match, but in the buildup, like Daniel Garcia was going to beat a man to death with a crowbar who was tied to a chair. Like Jack Perry got him to this crazy place that he didn't think he wanted to go. He's pissed at Jack Perry for making him do that. So taking all his frustration out on the scapegoat bus, and then leaving Jack Perry there tied to a chair. Although I'm going to need a thing. Did they ever go back for him, or is he still there? Or what's going on with that?
Brandon Cutler had to go untie him.
Yeah, I think so.
Daniel Garcia is a favorite at BetOnline AG to win the TNT title. That's my pick as well. I got him winning that one.
Yeah.
Renee interviews Jamie Hayter about how Julia Hart's video interrupted her last week, and Hayter is confused. And she says, if she wants to talk to me, she can. And she's cut off again. Vicky, our good friend, says, hi, SRS and Alex. Julia and the House of Black go after Death Riders, play mind games with Marina. Mariah isn't hitting it for me. Let Julia have a shot. I feel like Marina would be unfazed by any of that. Like, I don't feel like she would be affected. But House of Black and her going after Death Riders, I think is good. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Honestly, that's not terrible. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't hate that at all. But here's the deal. Mind games, I don't know. But like, I feel like Julia could shoot Marina in the heart with one of those arrows, and Marina would just break it off and keep coming. You know what I mean? Like it feels she's like one of those warriors on the old battlefield that gets shot and then snaps it
like
off.
In Scream,
coming with an axe, you know?
Be like in Scream 1 where the guy grabs his own blade and cleans it off. That's what she would do. Like
definitely do.
I think Julia is going to beat Jamie Hayter. I think she wins. And Jamie, like I'm going to say this about AEW as well. They are doing a really good job developing undercard feuds for the women.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
And this is something that a thing that I brought up about the U.S. title, like they already weren't doing that. I hope that this doesn't make it worse for WWE. Yeah. But AEW, you got Deonna and Rosa doing their thing, and then Deonna went and did her group. Mm-hmm. You've got you had Chris and Willow doing their thing as well. You had Jamie on like her revenge tour, and then the moment she declared, now I'm ready to get the title back, had something set up. And what I think is that Julia will beat her, giving them a reason to keep her away from the title a little bit, because right now there's no reason.
Right.
You have Britt doing her thing as well, which apparently nobody cares about, according to her, as she said to Serena last week.
Yeah.
But they're doing really well there.
Yeah, I love the idea that now they've got the Vendetta, Deonna and Taya, who are watching the Anna Jay match and have had words with Anna Jay. So Anna Jay versus Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie is great. Anna Jay finds somebody, I don't know who, to help her versus them. That's a great thing you can run on Collision as well. They've just got a lot of really great. There's the talent in the women's division is so great. Giving them all something substantive to do, even if they're not in the title picture, is such a great thing. We just got to get them on TV as much as possible.
Tell you what's also developed well. NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got a Black Friday exclusive deal right now. Big savings, 4 months extra at NordVPN.com/Fightful. As always, 30-day money-back guarantee. But I watched the UFC pay-per-view this past Saturday. I used NordVPN. Watching this AEW pay-per-view this weekend, NordVPN. Any boxing shows, not last week because it was on Netflix, but NordVPN. But hey, how about this? If you want a more complete WWE library, NordVPN is going to be able to give you that because it's going on Netflix and a lot of other territories. If you want to switch football games on a Sunday out of your market, NordVPN.com/Fightful does it. You change your virtual location with just one click. And you might say, I don't know how to do that. Well, luckily for you, it's available for all devices, all operating systems, and they have 24/7 support to help you in case you can't figure it out. Also, in the new year, after the NordVPN Fightful Awards, which I'm very excited about, we're going to be writing some articles about how you can watch some of your favorite programs, shows, pay-per-views, the like, with NordVPN.com/Fightful. This will end up saving you money. NordVPN has bailed me out so many times. As a Cincinnati Reds fan, it was not easy to watch Cincinnati Reds here locally. I use NordVPN to do that. Check them out. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Alex, I enjoyed a Chris Jericho segment thoroughly. I loved this segment.
Yes. Yeah. What I would have done with this to make it funnier to me personally is to have started it about like maybe the second or third segment of the night and then just keep checking back on Jericho walking. He's on the roof. And he's walking, he's like walking yes. around the building, snakes in through like a door that should be locked, and there's Ishii at the end of the hallway, and he has to run up the stairs. Just keep checking in on him every like 20 minutes.
They cut to segment 3, he's at a Whataburger, and Ishii's outside looking through the glass at him, knocking on it. I love this.
He gets in a cab, and he's like, cabbie, let's go, just drive. And Ishii turns around, and he's the cabbie. Like, come on, that'll be some fun stuff.
Jericho like has the perfect facial expressions and demeanor for this. This like, you're really not going to give up, huh? He'll like put a trash can there. Yeah. He grabs a production assistant. Hey, he wants to talk to you. Like anything, everything. Yeah. Yeah. This was fantastic. It led to Jericho going to the ring and saying he doesn't have a pen to sign the contract and the learning tree jump Ishii and make the save and conglomeration make the save. This is the most I've enjoyed a Jericho segment in a long, long time.
Yeah. I liked Ishii have coming prepared with the pen, knowing that Jericho might try to get out of it by saying he doesn't have a pen. I brought our own pen. that was good. Then the beat down, the conglomeration saves him, whatever. This is, I think, and we'll go around history as the time I have most liked Chris Jericho during this entire "Hi guys" phase. I don't think anything will surpass how much I enjoyed him looking scared while walking quickly away from Terminator Tomohiro Ishii.
I thought it was fantastic. That was so good.
Yep.
John Moxley calls Orange Cassidy a snake, a sociopath, but he might be a great guy. He's a threat. He must be destroyed. And he says, well, that's on Saturday. Darby is up for grabs tonight. Claudio speaks in, I don't know what language he spoke yet, but sure, said that he would end.
German. I believe it was German, yeah.
Said that he would end Darby tonight. And Darby responded by saying that Claudio is the one who ended Brian, and he's going to pay for that. Claudio did not pay for it. In fact, Claudio beat the living shit out of Darby.
Yeah,
he beat the absolute breaks off of him. Like a dirty rug just whooped him through like the swing into the stairs, the wrapped him up in something and threw him into the table, then rolled him in the ring, hit a clothesline and pinned him. Sometimes it's really that simple.
Yes, it is. Yeah. This is my, I believe my favorite Darby match of all time. He's so great at getting his ass kicked. My problem is when the whole time I was watching this, I was like, and then at the end, he wins. Like he'll do his weird, what does he call it? The Last Supper, where he does the pinfall. Like he'll figure out a way to lock that in and just get the victory anyway. I was so surprised when they just had Claudio beat him. This was great. Nobody takes a beating like Darby. The problem is like when he got tossed from the announce table to the timekeeper's table and the table didn't break. And he like bounced out there and ended up wrapped up in the sheet that was on top of the table. Like he was tucking himself in for a little night night. I was like, then he's just going to get back in the ring before the count of 10 and find out a way to beat Claudio. And I'm going to hate it because it doesn't feel believable to me that he could take all that punishment and then win anyway. And this time he didn't. Now, if you're going to lay out a match where he doesn't take all that punishment and still finds out a win, fine. But this was exactly what the story needed, because you still need more adversity for Darby to overcome if he's going to be the guy who is next up for Moxley, or is the guy who eventually beats Moxley down the line. He needs more things to overcome, having to beat Claudio, who destroyed him a couple of months prior, in order to get that Moxley match. That helps the story even more.
This was phenomenal. Like, and as weird as it is to say, a big win for Claudio as well. Yes. Who, I mean, Darby is one of those, you know, uniquely protected guys in AEW. Yeah. And you need Claudio to get wins like this as well. Yeah. And again, if Darby wins, how long can you keep him away from the title or a title? Mm-hmm. So this sort of resets that. Orange Cassidy's backstage. He knows he's outnumbered, but he wants to take them out himself, being the Death Riders. And the conglomeration, without O'Reilly, show up, and Mark Briscoe says he'll have his back, or they'll have his back. And OC yells at him, says that he's not asking. He's telling him he wants to do this alone. And I'll tell you what, Alex, he's got the main event tan to show it. Mm-hmm. He got a tan. It was honest to God one. But most importantly, the funniest line of him defeating Wheeler Yuta. Mm-hmm. Tony Schiavone goes, oh, well, he's wearing black jeans now. Mm-hmm. And Excalibur goes, yeah, Tony, he's only worn those a couple times. That's when he's really focused.
Unless I'm very much mistaken, I don't think we've ever seen Orange Cassidy wearing black jeans before.
I just want to tell you guys something. I'm going to WrestleCade next week. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite weekends of the year.
Yeah.
You see me in black jeans, you better walk the other fucking direction. You better hit the bricks. Because I mean business, okay?
Yeah. That's right. Yes.
Don't worry about the drawstring on them.
No.
I mean business, sir. Yeah. I was like, come on now. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I just saw that and I went, no. That is a thing that, like, in 1991 WCW would have been a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's wearing black, so you know he means business. Mm-hmm. This is a fine match. How'd you feel about it?
I liked it a lot. I really liked it a lot. I really enjoyed how they didn't have Cassidy win definitively. He got a good pinfall, but he wasn't like he hit him with three orange punches and a beach break. Like he figured out a way to beat Wheeler Yuta, who was having a great match. And Wheeler Yuta ended up screwing himself over because he couldn't put Cassidy away. So he went out to get the chair, allowed Cassidy time to recover. He saw him coming. He was able to reverse it, hit him with it, with a little roll up and get the victory. Really great stuff. Afterwards, they all come out. He's told everybody, stay out. I don't want anybody else getting hurt. I want them to focus all of their stuff on me, because they're not going to do anything that I can't walk away from. I think like this is what he was trying to say, because it's as important to Moxley that he beat me on Saturday as it is important to me that I beat him, because he needs to prove a point by taking me out so I can't wrestle. Doesn't achieve what they want. They just want to send a message that I know I'll be able to walk away from. But if you guys get out there and you interfere, they might do to you what they did to Chuck Taylor, to send a message to me. And I don't want that. I loved the moment when all the conglomeration come out after he takes a few punches from Moxley while being duct taped with his hands in his pockets. The conglomeration cut out. They cut him loose as Moxley is walking through the crowd. And he walks over, puts on his sunglasses, and then he does the defiant, puts his hands in his pockets again. What I thought this seemed to be saying was, Moxley, I don't have to kill you to beat you. I just have to be smarter than you. I just have to get lucky. I just have to drive you to the point of insanity where you make a mistake and I capitalize on it. I don't have to kill you to beat you, but you're going to have to kill me to beat me. And while I'm pretty sure you can, I'm putting my money on the fact that I don't think you will. And if that's the case, I'm going to beat you on Saturday. The way that Mox was looking at him, like we did this whole thing where we brought in duct tape and taped him together and I punched him in the face a bunch of times and it didn't phase him. I love that Mox cut this great promo on Collision of like, I thought after we did what we did to Chuck Taylor, he was either going to curl into a fetal position or lash out wildly, but he didn't. He's figured out he's the gears are turning. And that makes him more dangerous to Moxley, and Moxley knows it. There's a really cool dynamic between these two guys going in there. I honestly don't know what crazy thing they're going to do to Orange Cassidy to put him away in this match, but they're going to do something. Mox is going to have to kill Orange Cassidy. And we've already seen that happen the first time they wrestled when Orange Cassidy was the international champion forever. Now they got to up the stakes. This is going to be great.
Yeah, them you're trying to tape him up. And that doesn't – he puts his own hands in his pockets.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, not an issue for him. Conglomeration helped him, all that. I don't think OC wins this weekend. I think that John Moxley is a safe bet this early in his run. But
yeah.
Orange Cassidy is one of their guys. He is the most AEW guy there is.
For sure.
I love it. Meet Normus says, here's a small sack of monies for Fightful. Dynamite reminds me of when go-home shows were men. Lots of flips, meat, and logic. Full gear will be stupendous. I will be here live. I'll be giving you guys notes from the post-show scrum, which goes much quicker these days. Kate will be live on the scene there as well. So make sure you guys check that out. Alex will be live as well. We have Maddie Nice saying, great go home show. Looked like Hobbs threw the UE symbol up. I'd be good with that version of the UE. I wouldn't count on that, buddy.
No,
I wouldn't count on that anywhere. No. He says, OC is going to be injured and come back and beat John for the title. It's the best outcome. I do think that it's a real possibility that happens either with him or Darby, because I could see Darby getting his ass whipped, getting injured, doing his Mount Everest trip, coming back, winning the title at like Double or Nothing or something like that. I could see that happening as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it all depends on how late they want to push the Moxley thing, how long they're going to have him hold it, whatever, because he is going to go away to do Everest this year. He's going to figure out a way to get it done. So if you're going to have it be Cassidy, then I think having him lose now, get the hell beaten out of him, and then come back in like 3 or 4 months and then get another shot, that's a way to do it as well.
Yeah. Alex, tell the people where they can find you, my friend.
You can find me on all of the socials media, but less and less on Twitter, at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me over on Fightful Select, reviewing Raw every Monday. We do a Rampage watch along while talking about SmackDown on Fridays. Of course, there's the Tuesday post NXT show we do with Miss Kate Fabe, and also this Saturday for Full Gear, we're gonna start a little late, let everybody get into watching some Sean stuff, give the scoop skis, and then maybe after the scrum is over, if there's any new information that gets presented in the scrum, we'll also talk about that over on Fightful Select as well.
Guys, please follow us on social media platforms everywhere. Again, you guys boosting, retweeting, liking, commenting on any of our stuff really helps us this day and age. Please support original reporting, original content. It goes such a long way. And make sure to tune into this Monday's post-Raw show. Myself and Denise having our last Raw post-show together before Ibu joins the team in December. You guys are going to really like that combination as well. Check out my interview with Kenny Omega. I'm dropping one with QT Marshall on Friday. We're going to bring the boom, as they say. Until next time, guys, we're out.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.